No one started traveling to become a creator. Everyone started traveling to travel, and becoming a creator is a side effect of that.
Hello, and welcome back to Wanderworking, the podcast where we explore the intersection of travel and work. I'm your host, Andrea. And if any of you are content creators out there, specifically in the travel space, you're going to like this one. Today, I am sitting down with Laura Haley to talk about content creation, content repurposing, and also how to get more time back for your videos. As you know, content creation takes a lot longer than the 6-second video you see on Instagram. And when you're traveling, it's so important to be able to also live in the moment. Social media can definitely consume our lives, especially as creators. So in this episode, Laura will be teaching us how to connect with our audiences outside of social media, while also taking the pieces that we create for our social media and repurposing them in different ways to reach wider audiences. So whether you're a new creator or an experienced one, or someone wanting to start on their creator journey, stay tuned as we get into all the details on how to create content for the travel space.
I kind of have grown up in a family that's always been traveling. The first time I went out of the country was when I was 6 months old. So it's been really my whole life of travel. After I graduated college in 2021, I took a trip to visit my friend in Alaska and we went backpacking and I'd never done anything like that before. And I was like, wow. Seeing mountains are amazing, and I want to do more of this. And then it was like, wow, you're an adult, and you can kind of decide what you want to do and when. And I was like, yeah, this is something I need to do. And like, why not? My sister, she and her now husband took a trip a couple of years ago. They did 120 days of travel. And when I first heard about her like pitching this idea to my family, we were like, what? And now I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so awesome. And so I've kind of been like, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. So I'm trying to take advantage of the time in my life now where I'm not responsible for anyone or anything to like make a few choice decisions on what to do. But I would say it was like that first trip out of college, I guess, that was really like, okay, this is freaking awesome. I studied abroad before that, but that's too cliche. We can't talk about that.
We're like those study abroad kids that like we studied abroad and everybody has to know about it and we won't shut up about it.
Yeah, we're not. No, I never did that.
Oh, well, I did.
I'm saying I did, but I'm going to pretend like I didn't. Yeah.
I studied abroad in Japan and I have not shut up about it since. It was the trip that kind of changed everything for me. And for you, the trip that you took with your friend was also really cool because I know backpacking culture is not a big thing in the US. Maybe it's more common in Europe now that I've been there a few times. Like basically everybody backpacks in their 20s or almost up until their 30s, sometimes even more. And I just didn't have an exposure to the backpacking culture until I went on my study abroad and I met other Europeans who backpacked pretty frequently and they kind of introduced me to the idea.
Yeah, we went on like a literal backpacking trip, like out into the tundra. Before that, I had like backpacked Europe on the weekends when we were studying abroad, but that's not as interesting. But yeah, I've always been fascinated with that idea of like, oh my gosh, let me just pack up my stuff and go. I love that. And like now, I don't know, it's just the realization of, wow, you're an adult. You could just go and do that. So I'm trying to just go and do that. Because
you have no one to tell you no.
Yeah, which is I mean, I probably should.
So what are you doing now that's helping you go around the world? What would you say your job role would be?
So I am a content developer for travel creators and travel influencers. So essentially, I support them in two main ways. One is through newsletter creation and the other, or like general blog writing, things like that. And the other is through content repurposing. So basically, travel creators, as you know, spend so much time creating a piece of content that it's a shame that it only lives in one place of the internet or in one format and then is never seen again. So I give them their time back to go and do things that require their expertise in their creator journey and kind of manage their content alongside them or for them, which I mean, I can do remotely. So that's great too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So then you get to travel as well.
I do. So it's great because I know what it's like. I'm not a travel creator myself, but I know what it's like to be in their shoes of, okay, yeah, it sucks to have really slow internet right now, or like, yeah, I'm traveling. You have to squeeze in work when you can, type of thing, which I think has helped me be able to support them in unique ways rather than someone who can sit around and do and just like be in one place all the time. But I have literally never been that person. So it's fun to support people who are also like that.
Well, I would say you're being too humble because I would consider you a content creator
Oh
because
boy.
you make really great funny reels.
Oh my gosh. Hey, if you can't laugh at yourself, I mean, that's so funny. It's so fun. Yeah, it
Well,
is fun.
the thing I love about your reels is it's like it also is very niche. It's for travel creators from the travel creator perspective because you're right, it does take a lot of freaking time. Like I just came back from Mexico and I was battling with the internet issues trying to upload videos every single day. And it's super frustrating sometimes to work on a video and people's attention spans are so quick nowadays. And sometimes it won't get the initial reach that you want it to. And you're just like, well, all that work for what, you know?
I know. Yeah, totally. It's fun to be like, hey, yes, I appreciate. I don't think I could do it. Like, I don't think I could be a travel creator with how much time and dedication people spend putting this content together, which is kind of why I wanted to do what I do, is because like I see how much effort you're putting into something that you care so much about, that there has to be better ways to support you. And I had found other marketing people who, like, any travel creator could go find a marketing person to help them do what I could do for them. But I'm kind of unique in that I love the travel myself and am never in one place myself. So I get it. I get what it's like to have to try and create all this content and also not like drive yourself crazy and maybe have a beach day. So it's been fun. I've been doing it for over a year now and it's been good so far.
Yeah, I think that's amazing that you do that because, like you said, it is a frustration. And there have definitely been moments where I've gone to a place and I haven't really seen it. Like, I can tell people I've been to Barcelona, but I've been to Barcelona and I saw Barcelona through like the overhead of my laptop screen.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I've really seen it, you know?
Totally. I saw someone post recently, but she was posting a bunch of clips of her just working on her computer, and she was like, here's genuinely what most of my days are like. And there's nothing wrong with working all the time when you're in different places. Like, that's the beauty of why you live this type of life, is because you can. And I think, though, it's great to show that it is so hard. And so many people, like, okay, I even get so caught up, and I watch these people on YouTube or whatever who like live in vans, and they're like, yeah, we did 2 hours of work and now we're going to hike. I'm like, no, you didn't. I know that you didn't just do 2 hours of work. You've done like 12 hours of work or whatever today, and you're just not showing it. And so then it feeds into this unrealistic idea to other travel creators that, oh, look at us. We have hundreds of thousands of followers or subscribers, and we only work 2 hours a day, which is and possibly true for a lot of people. But it's also like, think about all the hours you spent trying to get to that point where you could kind of take a back seat. Like, if you're truly only working 2 hours a day, you have somebody else supporting you on your content, which is amazing and perfect and something you should be doing. It's hard because then you get annoyed that you're annoyed at yourself for being in a beautiful place and having to work. There's so many things. It's so many things.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's not possible to do 2 hours of work, especially if you're doing it by yourself for content creation, if you are working on growing it at least. I just came back from Women's Travel Fest and I heard people talking about the issue because a lot of the people that go there are travel creators as well. And one of them said to me, like, sometimes I miss going to a location and just being in the location and not doing it for work, not trying to get content out of it, not trying to do anything. I can't remember the last time I've gone to one place and just been completely there just for vacation. Like every vacation, they probably film stuff, or maybe they have a brand deal, or maybe they're there for a conference or to meet someone else. And it's really hard to disconnect. And that is one part of the digital nomad lifestyle that doesn't get talked about a lot. We see the pretty pictures of you working in like Bali by the pool or overlooking a beautiful jungle,
But there's so much more behind that picture. Maybe you're battling the Wi-Fi issues. Maybe you're working actually a 12-hour day. And maybe you're sleep deprived because you're moving around places so many times.
I think that no one started traveling to become a creator. Everyone started traveling to travel. And becoming a creator is a side effect of that. And so it's really sad when you can't feel as though you can enjoy a destination. Like, that makes my blood boil. It's so upsetting. And I think the other caveat that is hard is that you have now either trained yourself to become a creator, or you're just consuming so much created content that it just becomes the forefront of your brain of what you're thinking about, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just like we're kind of addicted to thinking about things we can capture, which is not our fault. That's a whole nother thing, but it's not our fault that we're addicted to them. It's because they are addicting. And so it's hard as a creative person, is what I'm trying to get at, to turn off the parts of our brain that want us to continue to think about creative ideas and create while we're in these cool places. And so I always encourage people, like, if you see something cool, capture it, but don't feel like you have to freaking post about it as soon as you get back. Like, nobody's going to care, I promise, that you didn't post about your last trip. Nobody, like, it's okay. And I think that's so hard for some people to realize, because they think they're going to lose so much, but you're not. And I think the whole goal of what I try and help people do is be able to enjoy where they're traveling, because that's why you do your whole thing, is because you want to go see these cool places, not necessarily to spend 12 hours editing a video after.
Exactly. And I think that's a great segue into the next thing I was wanting to talk about, which is, you seem like you don't always want people to rely on social media for a reason. I know me and you have talked about it before, and I completely understand it because, like you said, it's addicting. You're always on and you feel like you always have to post and things like that. What would be some alternatives for people to continue funding their travels if they are like influencers or travel type creators that isn't so heavily reliant on social media?
Yeah, I mean, social media is an incredible tool, as we know. It's incredible, and I don't think people should stop using it. I think we just need to think about it a little bit differently. So the biggest reason why I don't recommend, not necessarily don't recommend, but why I get a little spooked about social media for creators is because it can just go away. Your account can just be gone. I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it happen recently to a couple of creators. And the only reason I've seen these creators be able to get their account back is because their account is so large. And I've worked with another creator who, she had about 3,500 followers. It was gone. And so she had to start completely all over because her account wasn't like big enough to warrant the attention of Meta. And
are
so,
you serious?
Yeah.
Like, my butthole just clenched. Like, that is traumatizing.
Yeah. No. And so now she's built it back up, and I think bigger and better and badder. But that can happen, and it's absolutely terrifying, and it keeps me up at night and makes me so angry. And it's also weird because it is Meta, because I'm talking about to people why they shouldn't be using social media on social media. But the other alternative is to move your community to a place of the internet you actually own. And my biggest recommendation for travel creators is through a newsletter, because it can be so dang easy. And the thing is, you don't have to necessarily send newsletter content to reap the benefits of protecting your community through a newsletter. Basically, you should just be trying to offer them a freebie, so your community or your audience a freebie to get their email address. Then you can just file it away for a time when, if something tragic were to happen to your community or your account, you still have the context of people in your community so that you can shoot them a little message and say, hey, I'm rebuilding my community here for the time being. I'm going to be sending you newsletter content. And also, newsletter content always has a higher return on investment if you're trying to sell something. I think it's like 40% of brands are putting more money into email marketing in 2024 than on really any other platform or things like that. And so it's where brands are also looking for creators to give money to. But essentially, newsletters are just a great social media insurance or alternative in case something catastrophic were to happen to your account.
Wow. And you think it's never going to happen to you until it probably does. And by then it's like probably too late to do anything about it and start building up your email list from scratch. You don't have to like spam people's inboxes. You can just send alerts for like big things that are happening. And when you're ready to provide value versus like social media, I feel like sometimes we put out stuff just to put out stuff to keep the algorithm happy. And just so that the Instagram gods don't punish you for not being consistent.
Totally. I hate the Instagram gods. They're so annoying. And like the thing with your email list is that you don't have to send a dang thing on it. You can only start using it until something horrible happens to your account or something like that. And so it's really just a free way to make sure that you keep your hard-earned community. And it makes me sick, honestly, because creators literally spend hours and hours creating a few second video and they could wake up tomorrow morning and it could be completely gone. And like, what do you do? It makes me want to cry for them. And it also stinks because it's preventable. You can do something about it now to move your community or at least get some portion of it. You're never going to get 100% back, but you will get enough to help you rebuild if you want to. So that's why I scream about email marketing all the time, is because social media is terrifying.
I mean, I'm guilty because I haven't started a newsletter and okay. Now I'm a little paranoid because as you were saying that, I was thinking about all the public Wi-Fi networks I connect to as a traveler. And I know we all do. And I know not all of us remember to turn on their VPN if you have it. So the possibility of getting hacked, your account getting hacked, is just so great, especially when you're moving around, that it's almost riskier not to start that newsletter than it is to start it from the beginning. I mean, it might be an extra piece of work you have to do to create the freebie, to get the emails, to create an email list. But being that we're putting ourselves in kind of like a cybersecurity risk all the time, I mean, it would be dumb not to. And now I'm kind of beating myself up for not starting one sooner.
Oh, don't. Honestly, it can sound so like, email marketing is not cute. I almost hate that it's called email marketing. Like, ew, gross. But I think like a way you can make it easy, the easiest thing I would do right now, because it can get so confusing and overwhelming of like, what kind of sender do I use? How do I even set up a form to collect email addresses? I would create a Google form. And all I would say right now, and while you're working on your freebie or whatever in the background, your irresistible offer to get people to sign up, I would just say it's a Google form and people put in their email address. And right now you can tell people just sign up to receive updates from me or sign up to get, you know, more travel content from me or whatever your thing is. And then at least you can try and collect some while maybe you're working on something that might incentivize more people later on. And I would just leave it in a Google form because it collects all the data. And then if you ever need to move it over into something, it's easy to do it that way. So then you don't have to like go put off, you know, trying to build something in ConvertKit or like whatever else it is. So I think that is the easiest step you can take.
Plus, it's a great thing to pair along with your content. I mean, I know a lot of people who have social media accounts are also doing things in parallel. So email is just another channel for them to go ahead and promote that or to have a campaign in unison with it.
Totally. I think that a lot of travel creators think that social media is their only marketing thing, when really, if they want to be as successful in their marketing, it's just one pillar of their marketing strategy. Just doing social media for funsies for travel is fantastic. But if you want to treat your content like a business, then you need to have other strategies in place. And I know that the word strategy can be so overwhelming, but really, it's just like one way that you're reaching people. And I like to think of your social media account as like a billboard. So it's just pushing people to get onto your email list or into a place where you have some piece of contact information for them that you own and is like a little trophy of your hard work.
Right. And I know you mentioned content strategy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because for anyone who is starting out just posting for funsies and maybe they want to take it to a more serious level, what is a content strategy? What should you do? And like, totally. What should you monetize?
Yes. Okay. Content strategy. So essentially, I feel like in its simplest terms, a content strategy is an overall plan of, so you have an end goal and maybe it's to get email subscribers. So I'm going to strategize or create a plan of content that The main goal, every single piece, is to get people to my end goal, which is to grow email subscribers. And then obviously people finesse that strategy into much more bigger things, like, okay, that means I'm going to post three reels a week or whatever about this topic, with the call to action being get on my newsletter, or the content is about what you can get from my newsletter, things like that. Strategies can change. They change a lot as you are figuring out like who you want to be as a creator. And I think the biggest thing that can help you with your strategy is kind of a hot topic, and it's finding a travel niche. So a lot of creators who come my way are like, okay, I want to inspire people to travel, which is totally valid and fine and fun. But do you want to inspire budget travelers? Do you want to inspire luxury travelers? Because the way you talk to those two groups of people is completely different. So strategizing, who are the type of people I want to be consuming my content? Who is that ideal person on the other side of the screen who is looking at my content, will help you create a better strategy slash better content to get people towards your end game. And I think that's one thing that a lot of travel creators don't do, is specifically decide like, all right, I'm a travel creator for budget travelers, or I'm a travel creator for luxury travelers. Instead, they're just like, I'm here to inspire you to travel, which is great, but when you're talking to everybody, you're talking to no one in the end.
Yeah, I like how you said that. And it's even in the name travel creators. They're creative people. They often don't think about this as a business, but as someone who does come from a business background, what you just described sounds a lot like a customer persona, which
Yeah,
is
exactly.
the ideal customer you want to market to.
Exactly. And that all goes back to your branding, which is not, as you know, not just your logos and colors, but it's so important to informing your content strategy. I make everybody go through a little branding Q&A with me because I can't, we cannot go on if you do not know how to talk about yourself or who you're talking to in your content. It's crazy.
Exactly. For anyone who doesn't know, I do branding and I do web design. And the amount of times people have just been like, okay, well, just make a logo for me. I was like, oh, okay, well, this logo is going to represent you. And it's only a small part of your overall branding strategy or branding persona. So we need to go deeper. We need to talk about who your ideal customer is, how you want to talk to them, what the brand personality is like, who's your demographic. And then according to that, I'll choose the colors and fonts and the things that appeal to those people. And that's how I go about it when I make, visual branding pieces. Because oftentimes people just focus on the visual. They just focus on whether it be the logos or the filter style or whatever, but that's just such a small part. You have to think about it more strategically. And like you said, think about it like a business. And as creators, sometimes our mind doesn't always go straight there. But that's why it's so important to reach out to people like Laura and like me who can help you take care of that part because it is an essential part to get started. It's not by all means an end all be all. You can still be successful on social media if you go viral or something. But, if you are thinking of it like a business and you want to treat it like a business, that would be the first steps to take.
Yes, I so agree so much. And the reason is, yes, you can be successful on social media without a brand. Sure, fine. You can go viral. Fine, I'll say it. But if you want to treat your content like a business, and eventually businesses have multiple employees most of the time, if you need to pass your content creation off to somebody else, they need to know how the heck to talk about you and who to talk to. And so having a clear brand to give to somebody else will make everything so much easier, so that your community will never even know it's not you. It's just so important. And everyone ask Andrea about how to do it because she is a master and you have to have it. I'm sorry, it's a requirement.
Yeah, for me, the first thing I did when I started my travel account, because this is my fun time, when I get to design, is to kind of go into my customer persona. This is before I didn't even have 100 followers. I didn't even have like over 50. I just decided I wanted to do this travel content thing. But I told myself, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it well. And I decided, like, no, I'm going to make myself a logo. But more than just the logo, I'm going to decide what kind of people I'm trying to talk to, what kind of people I'm trying to reach. Oddly enough, the kind of people I was trying to reach were people kind of like me, the ones that were in my shoes maybe a year or two ago when I was starting, when I had no idea about what the heck I was doing. I still don't know what the heck I'm doing, but you know, okay. I discover it as I go along and I take them with me.
That's so true. I was just talking to somebody who I work super closely with. She's a social media strategist, and we were working on a piece of content for her about how we are often our own target audience. So if you like creating content or consuming it and you're like, all right, I know I need to get clear on who I'm talking to so that I can actually maybe try and make some money from this or be really just like grow an audience, thinking about, okay, what am I? What are my characteristics? Do I, for example, like, I'm not going to be a luxury traveler. I'm okay roughing it. I'm okay using a backpack. I don't want to go to a resort. Lean into who you are, because one, it will shine through. That's great. But also will help you get clear on, okay, is this the type of person I'm actually creating for? Because oftentimes I think we are creating for ourselves. We just don't really realize it.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely creating for myself. And I didn't even realize it until like after I had finished like all my regular branding questions and things like that. And I'm like, this person sounds exactly like me. And that's totally fine, because I'm sure there are a lot of people like me who didn't know how to start, who probably didn't know the different ways you could travel, which is honestly what this whole podcast is about. Because I love to just lean into like the variety that there is. Not all of us are going to be budget travelers. I understand. Not all of us are going to be luxury travelers. And some of us will fall in between, be digital nomads. Or some of us just want to be backpackers. Some of us want a home base. And that's totally okay. I've even met whole families that travel together and are on the road. There's a million ways to do this. And I'm just here to shine the light on all the ways that they are, even if it is not the way I would. Because I'll be upfront, I am not above staying in hostels. I would love hotels. But, you know, if you want to do this long term, shit costs money. I'm fine to be traveling through hostels for now. Right now, I am at the place where I want to grow eventually so that I can stay more like Airbnbs and actually have a better work-life balance, because I struggle with that, especially when I travel. That's the reason I was so excited to interview you, because your main purpose is to help travelers get back to traveling. And I know when we're having our remote jobs and doing content creation on top of that, a lot of stuff that made us fall in love with travel can get pushed to the side when we're focusing on just the work part, which is why I think the whole idea of repurposing content is amazing. Because like you said, it doesn't just need to live for 5 seconds on the internet and then go away forever, because you spent a lot of time to create that idea. There's different ways to repurpose it. Can you tell us a little bit more about the ways you've repurposed for some of your other creators?
So another good thing about repurposing is that, like we were talking about, I think social media is terrifying. And so, okay, if you have a bank of content, if you have a place to organize your content, and let's say you're posting all this stuff and you're putting it in this organizational system and your Instagram, God forbid, goes dark. Well, now you already have exactly the type of content you've shared online before. So you can copy and paste that, share it again, or pop it in your newsletter. But in essence, for people, what I do is I look at their profiles and I determine what pieces are the best to repurpose. And so if it's an Instagram reel, I'll edit it or break it down into other pieces of content it can be. So for example, a reel about like my Costa Rica tips or like things I wish I knew about Costa Rica before I went is one I just did. So it's top of mind, can become another like carousel post on Instagram. It can become a blog post. It can become newsletter content. It can eventually become another reel, just because people also don't remember they've seen it before. It takes 7 times to see something in front of you before you remember you've seen it before. And if you just have 5 pieces of content that you're breaking down in all those ways and resharing, it's going to take a very long time for somebody to notice that they have seen that exact piece of information before. So writing is my specialty. So whether that is taking your reel and figuring out the best way to make it into another caption, or writing on screen or like video directions, or even writing long form YouTube scripts or newsletters or blogs, I just take the content you've already created that we already know your audience is jazzed about and turn it into other pieces of content is the main gist.
You know what's wonderful about that that I just thought about is that you keep the creator's voice. Like, I have struggled a little bit sometimes with outsourcing because I do want to get some of my time back, and I have outsourced to other people before, but they didn't edit the video the way I liked, or they didn't tell the story the way I would, because I was the one that was experiencing it. So it would be so much more easy for me as a creator to hand you a video that I made that has my original idea, my voice, my experience, hand it off to you and have it be repurposed as a blog post or as a newsletter and things like that, because I've already given you the idea, and this is my brand, this is my the way I create, and the people I talk to know the way I talk, and it's not going to change. All it is just going to be repurposed in a different format, but essentially it gives me another piece to put out there.
Exactly. And so that's also why I make people go through a little branding process because that helps me get even more into your headspace and like, this is how you write, this is how you talk and you write captions. But you're exactly right. In essence, it's just more of you through me so that you can have the time to work on all those projects in the background. Maybe that is creating your email freebie that, like, you know, it would just sit in the back burner forever if. Because we feel so tied to getting content out, and it can be so dang stressful. So, that in essence is how I give people time back.
That's amazing. I definitely need to talk to you more about that for personal reasons. Not that I'm stressed or anything, just for fun.
Fun. Yeah.
Just for fun. Let's talk it out after the podcast. But it's true. It is stressful because you're balancing so many things at once. And I wish I knew all of this when I started out, because I was very optimistic when I started out because I didn't know the amount of work it would require. I was one of those people that said, okay, I'm just going to go and travel and then I'm going to post about it. But when you really get into it, you realize that it does take a lot of work to create content. And I also do my remote job on top of that. So I have a 40-hour work week while I travel and while I also do content creation. And I've actually started to punch in and punch out and log my time for the amount of time I'm spending on content creation,
That's
just to
great.
see where all my time was going, because I constantly felt like I never had enough time. And
Yeah.
girl, it's a whole nother part-time job, the amount of hours that I have put into
Know.
it.
That's why I'm like, dang, like you're putting so much time into this. Like, let's make it worthwhile. Seriously. Like, oh, it's, yeah, I don't know. I also think a misconception about repurposed content is that I am not copying and pasting from something you've done before. That's not what we're doing here. We're making one piece of content into something completely different. Whether it might be about the same one tip you're sharing, it's not the same verbatim words on the screen. So, like, anybody can repost content that is not repurposing. And repurposing really requires good writing skills because you have to, one, like be able to get into the headspace of the person you're repurposing for. But also, when you script out a video to speak, you're doing it for the ears because you're listening to it. And when you script out a blog post for your website, you're doing it for the eyes. And the way that you hear a video versus the way that you, like the way that we speak versus the way that we read is very different. And obviously, we use a lot of slang or just like not proper words or sentence structures. And so, you need to be a strong writer and editor to be able to go in there and clean up the pieces. So, it's not necessarily like, here, I have this podcast transcript, which can work sometimes for sure, but you definitely have to read through it and pull out the pieces. So, it's not just like reposting it. It's like, I actually have to take the time to make this a better piece of content that is going to perform well on this specific platform.
Yeah, that's totally true. And not everyone, like you said, consumes content the same way. And I think it's great to have a version of yourself for both those audiences, because you have the people that will read the blog posts and you have the people who will just go straight to TikTok or Instagram for their information. I'm not saying one is right or one is better than the other. I'm just saying there's audiences for both. And it's good to cater to both to grow your audience even more.
Definitely, definitely. My biggest pet peeve is when people like post a transcript or something onto their website and call it a blog. I'm like, I can't. I'm sorry. Can't read that. We can't do it. We can't do it.
Yeah, even I wouldn't sit through, and I'm obsessed with travel. I would not sit through reading a video script or a transcript of something because it wouldn't read the same way.
It's not the same. And I don't think people realize that.
Well, for those who are doing that, if you are doing that, stop. First of all, stop it.
Stop it. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing that, and I get it, it takes time. And that's exactly what you're trying to get more of. If you're have like a transcript and you're like, I need this to be a blog post, you could go ahead and use AI. See what it gives you. See what it gives you. It's not going to be as good as a human could do it, because unless you feed it over and over information about your brand, but if you don't have a brand or aren't clear on that, it's going to be an okay blog, but it could be a lot better if you already laid the foundation of a brand. Basically, I'm saying AI can help you, but it's not going to be as great as somebody who can support you better for the long term.
Yeah, I've definitely tried to lean on AI for some of my posts, my things, but ultimately it would give me very cookie cutter things. It wouldn't give me the things that would sound like me. And like you said, unless you've trained an AI over and over again on your content, I don't think it's really going to get it for you. And even then, the time it takes to do that is going to be time, because you're going to have to go back and forth on it a lot. Be like, no, I talk about things this way. Or maybe for the blog post, don't write it like this. Or for the videos, write it more casual. And it's going to take time. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to get back as travelers, as creators, as entrepreneurs, because that is the one asset that is invaluable. That's the one thing you don't ever get back. So I think for that, for people who need assistance in that manner, it'd be great for them to reach out to people like you who have that one experience in the travel industry and just traveling in general, who get it, but also to know how important it is to grow their community further than just social media. And repurpose and reuse and know how to reuse it and know how to speak to those audiences. So for anyone who wants to do that, how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Travel Content Writing. My website is the same. And on my Instagram/website, I will be pushing you to sign up for my free newsletter, The Content Compass. I send it every Tuesday. And I do a case study on a travel creator who is crushing their content. And I show you ways that they have done that and how you can do it yourself. So in essence, you get a little mini university course every Tuesday in your inbox for free, which is so fun. It's my favorite piece of content I create. And to be honest, almost 100% of it is repurposed content I've shared before. I just like tweak it up a little bit and nobody knows. Nobody complains.
Nobody's going to know. How would they know?
How would they know? Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. But I know there's also one more thing, and I don't know if you forgot to shout out or you're just being humble, but you also have a podcast.
Oh my gosh, I do. Oh my gosh.
I forgot about that old thing.
I didn't, you know what? I literally recorded 2 episodes earlier today. Literally, like probably 90 minutes ago. Oh my gosh, I do have a podcast. That's so funny. It is called The Travel Creator Podcast. And similarly, it is for ways to show you how the heck you can find smarter ways to use your content and trade your content time for travel time. Basically, you can just get an expanded version of our conversation here, but I break it down into like 15-minute episodes or less so that you can, you know, do it on the go. Or you know what? I challenge you to listen to it before the plane takes off, from when you sit down to when you have to put your phone on airplane mode. I challenge you. That's good. I should start making them even shorter for that.
No, that's awesome, because oftentimes when you have a long form podcast, a lot of information, if a lot is presented, things can get forgotten and lost. So those bite-sized episodes are like the perfect thing you need when you're like, okay, you know, I need to better myself. I just don't want to invest hours and hours of time on bettering myself in terms of content creation. So those bite-sized episodes, do one a day and there you go.
Totally. I totally get overwhelmed too. I'm in like information overload. Like I have so many free things I signed up for. And so my rule for 2024 was like, no new information. So if you're in that camp, I'm not going to be mad if you don't go listen to my podcast. However, you
should. I will. I will. I'll be mad for you.
Yeah.
How are you going to be better if you don't listen to her stuff?
I mean, hey, it's something you can do. I think I said in one episode, like, you should go and listen to this while you take a walk. Like, seriously, use it as your break.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so happy you came on, because the amount of messages I get from people who are like, okay, like, how do I do this? Or even just talking to other content creators, I'm realizing how freaking stressed they are.
Yes.
And this is wonderful that, you know, there are people like you out there. I had no idea because I talked to other people, like other friends about it who aren't doing social media, and they have no idea what I'm talking about.
Totally, totally. Yes, thank you for having me here to rant about all the things I only get to tell people in my house. It's so much fun, so much fun. I love it. I love it. But yeah, I mean, it's an underspoken about topic for sure. I mean, these poor travel creators are just living through a highlight reel, and we both know that that's not reality, and it's okay to accept that. By the time this episode is out, I will have an episode out about imposter syndrome in the creator space that I'm so excited about. And maybe it will inspire you to go and listen to that one. I promise it's short. So, yay!
Yay! Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, thank you.